I thought that was rather interesting. So anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight. I remember years ago when I was in church, and one of the reasons I showed up was for the girls. When I was a teenager and all that. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what we did. But I wish I had understood more about the value of a committed life to Jesus. I didn't. But I knew I was doing the right thing by going to church, you know. And even though my life wasn't exactly spotless, I still knew. I still understood right from wrong. I sometimes enjoyed the wrong a little too much. But I still knew. And I tell you what, all the times I bellyached and complained, you know, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to go to church, you know, kid growing up. I'm glad Mom and Dad made us. Us meaning me and my brother and sister. I'm glad they made us. I'm glad they didn't just let us lay out when we didn't want to go. I'm glad that all those times they didn't let me stay home just to watch The Wonderful World of Disney. Remember that, Sunday nights?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess you got to be old to remember that. And then it was interesting because when I got older, headed into my teen years, you know, 14, 15 and on, I really did want to go. And again, primarily for the girls. And I don't even know that primarily for the girls, I mean, probably. But my friends, I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted to be with, everywhere you go, you're always closer to some people than others. That's just the way it is. But I wanted to be with my close friends. And I missed them when they weren't there. But I was also aware of the others that weren't my closer friends when they weren't there. We had a decent-sized youth group. I mean, it wasn't hundreds and hundreds, but when they weren't there, we knew it. And we wondered why they weren't there. And even in youth groups, there's sometimes this thing of, the younger ones getting picked on by the older ones. I mean, it's not as bad as maybe what it is like in high school, but it's still kind of there. I mean, it's just kind of how it is. But even when I was younger and the older ones maybe kind of pick on me, we still wondered where are they when they weren't there. And if anything happened to any of us, there was still a concern. Even if it happened to somebody that got picked on, and you know, even there was even the cools and the uncools at church. Just the way it was. But if something happened, there was still concern. And I can remember they had taken one of the rooms in our church and converted it into they called it a prayer chapel. It had been a classroom. And they made it really nice. Very muted lighting. They put some pews in there. And it really was an atmosphere very conducive for prayer. And even though we didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit or tongues or whatever, I mean, you can still acknowledge and sense God as much as possible relative to what you believe. And there were times when we would have, I don't want to call it a service, but I don't even know what you'd call it. Just a time together in that prayer room, that prayer chapel. And I distinctly remember we did take it seriously. Even if we were maybe kind of partially bored with it, we still took it seriously. And it was interesting because I remember there were times when some of the kids would open up and share things about their lives and what all. And, you know, we'd pray as best as we understood how to pray. So even though a lot of those kids weren't maybe even as serious about God as what I was, and I wasn't, you know, someday I'll be a preacher. You know, and it wasn't like that. Still, there were those times when You know, we relied on each other. And it was important to us. And I can remember one of the hardest times of my life was after I graduated from high school. When I graduated from high school, I didn't immediately go to college. I was working, and eventually I did go to a school, but not immediately. And I can remember the fall after I had graduated from high school. And I was working at the gas station. It was September 1st. I mean, just, you know, that time of year. And I'm working at the gas station, and I work 6:30 to 3 every day, Monday through Friday. And, you know, I didn't pay a whole lot, but I enjoyed it. It was we pumped the gas, you know, check under the hood, check your oil, that kind of thing, you know. Full service station. But I remember standing there, beautiful day. You know, it wasn't really hot in the morning. And the school buses were out driving on the road. And there was this thing in me. I'm supposed to be somewhere. I mean, I know I have this job, but I'm supposed to be somewhere. Because my whole life, it was always, get up, get ready, go to school. Get up, get ready, go to school. Get up, get ready, go to school. Get up, get ready, you're going to be late, go to school. That was it. That's all I knew. You know, going all the way back like 5 years old. That's all I knew. Now all of a sudden, here I am. You know, 17 years. I graduated at 17. I was a year ahead of what I should have been. I'm 17 years old, and my life has entered into a transition. And I'm telling you guys, it wasn't easy. But not only that, at church, I was no longer officially a part of the youth group because I had graduated from high school. Now, one of the things that helped me, and I mean it really helped me a lot, was that I was dating a girl who was still in the youth group. So when it came to youth group functions, even though I was like a year removed from high school, I could still go to it. But that was still weird because I could feel something's different. And they'd be talking about high school, but I had no high school to talk about. It was over. That was so hard for me. I struggled with that a lot. Didn't know. I felt aimless. You know, what do I do? And even when I did go to college, there was still a little bit of this adjustment. And this went on for probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years, of adjusting to the non-regulated life of school. And there was nobody there to really help me. I didn't know what to do. Had I been committed to Jesus, I would have known better what to do. The time that I did have that was no longer committed to school stuff, I could have redeemed that time. But it's not doing me any good to try to live in that past. It happened. I blew it. I made mistakes. I didn't totally blow it. You know, I didn't end up in jail and stuff like that. Well, I didn't end up in jail because a lot of things I did, I wasn't caught. And thank God for that. The same thing is true for people in church, in that. If you're regularly attending church and you stop or you start laying out, something in you is going to know something's amiss. Something's not right. This doesn't feel good. And if you don't watch out, you can begin to force yourself into an adjustment of not being in church. And that longing, now look, if you're truly born again, there is a longing and a desire in your spirit to be around other Christians who are serving God. Not carnal Christians, not, you know, sitting on the fence Christians, not compromising Christians. There's something in your spirit that wants to be with other believers. Even if you don't know them that well, being there in that place with them, there's something in you that clicks, that it fits. When you begin to override that, you are on a slippery slope. Maybe not necessarily back into sin, but into desensitizing yourself to the presence of God, to His voice, to that relationship you have with Him. For some people, it does lead back into sin. And I've seen this in people's lives to where their language begins to change, the things they do begin to change. They begin to reach out toward behaviors, habits that maybe they'd never done before in their lives. But they start incorporating these things. And you wonder, well, what was it that made you decide you want to do this when you had never done that before in your life? Well, something. A lot of people look at the pastor and they, I don't mean just me, I mean like generally speaking in a church that it doesn't even have to be a what you'd call a full gospel church. Just in a church where the pastor is seeking to serve God and is serious about his walk with God. Sometimes there's this idea that, well, you know, I mean, you know, he's a pastor. You know, he's up there. He's got his act together. And, you know, he can handle it. So it's really not that important to him if I'm not there. I've got news for you. It is. It means something. It really does. And those of you that have laid out, just to be laying out, I'm not pointing any fingers. And some of you have. I mean, I'm not casting stones. Let's just be honest here. You know that I've never contacted any of you, ever.
Well, you're not a very good pastor.
Oh, yeah, I am. Now, I've never contacted any of you. And the reason I have, you know, Kathy's talked to me about that. You know, you're going to contact them? No. Well, why not? I said, because when I contact people, inevitably, they don't tell me the truth. I'm not again casting stones. It's just how it is. And sometimes people lie. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put you into a position to where you tell a lie. Because you know how you're going to feel after we hang up.
I just lied. I don't believe this.
It does mean something. It means a lot. Because, see, I covet your fellowship too. I like being together. I'm not one of these, you know, huggy-wuggy kind of people. I mean, some people are like that. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not one of these. That, you know the thing in the Bible where it talks about greet each other with a holy kiss? Okay, that ain't me. I will greet Kathy with a holy kiss. I think you understand what I mean. I'm okay with the handshaking and all that. You know, don't get me wrong. But I enjoy you being here. Even if I don't say a word to you the whole day. And it's really difficult to say something to every single person here. And that's with the size we have. But it still is meaningful when you're here. I appreciate the effort you go through to be here. I don't know what you go through to be here. And for some of you, I may not want to know what you have to go through to be here. But I appreciate it. It's very meaningful, and I do know this. Though other people may not say it, they appreciate it as well. It means something when you come in and you see everybody here. That's one of the things about like the, what are those places called? The VFW. Is that right? Is that what it is, VFW? Man, you drive to those places, the parking lot is packed. I know everybody in there is probably half drunk, and the other half's totally drunk. All right, listen, don't give me any letters on that one, okay? That was meant to be a joke, okay? Anyway. But you know what? They appreciate it when their fellow veterans are there. You know, this morning I was sharing a message about the days of Jeremiah are upon us. I don't think we realize how critical our interpersonal relationships are. Because the closer that we get to the return of Jesus, is the more we're really going to need each other. You know, in some countries, it is illegal for the people to gather together like what we are here tonight. Now, I don't believe that it's going to get to that point here in this country. But, you know, if you play what if it is? What if it is? We're going to need to figure some way to get together. Even if it's, you know, back the car out of the garage and let's all pile in. Not in the car, I mean the garage. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is how much we need each other. And it's easier for us than it was for the folks in the what you would call New Testament days, you know, back in that time. It's so much easier for us because we can just hop in a car and be somewhere in a matter of minutes. We can be further in 30 minutes than they could be in an entire day. It really is, and I'm understanding this more clearly than ever, it really is that serious for us. And we should not take lightly these relationships. And there are more people out there, Christians even, they need to be here. There are people that have walked away from here and they're nowhere. I mean, they're just getting by day, they're not in any church. They need to be back. They need to be here. But you know what? Like I said, you know, the old saying, you lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. Well, you know, you can lead a Christian to the anointing, but you can't make them partake. You are very valuable. Every single one of you are very valuable. And you hold more value in the kingdom than what you realize. We are not an average church. We're not common. We are extremely unique, and that's very sad. We should be common. What we do should be the standard. I mean, other churches, all other churches that name the name of Jesus, it should be like this. You know, their personalities, their styles, and so forth, but we should all be walking this same path, and we're not. And that's what makes it even more critical, because Christians are deviating from this path. Paul warned about this when he wrote to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you need to know that the day is coming when people are going to turn away from the truth, and they're going to be embracing teachers that are teaching error. That means that there are people sitting under the ministry of Paul and Timothy that turned away from him. And Paul was looking to the future, and it's like he was saying, there are going to be people out there preaching and teaching like you and me, Timothy, but the day's coming. Some of them are going to get up, they're going to walk out the doors, and they're not coming back. And they're going to go find themselves preachers who are going to tell them what they've decided they want to hear. They're going to go find a church where basically the pastor's just a feel-good, make you, you know, motivational, whatever kind of, you know, you're a good person kind of sermons. we're in an age where it's getting tough. You know, I say this a lot because it, not because I don't have anything else to say, but because I think we are on the verge of things happening in this world. We just don't realize what's coming. Now, the Holy Spirit, I mean, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, He said that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He talked about the Holy Spirit, you know, guiding us into all truth. And He'll show you things to come. Well, sometimes that showing begins as a prompting in your spirit. And it's like the Holy Spirit's kind of warning. He said, hey, listen, something's coming down. And you better prepare yourself for it. That's where we are right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking through people literally all over this world, letting us know there's something coming down and we better be prepared for this. You know, it's hard for me to imagine living in a culture where they tell you that the Bible is illegal. Well, again, I'm hard-pressed to see this nation reach that point. But I could see how that this nation could possibly get to the point to where they would say the reading of any religious book in public is an affront. I saw something the other day. I did not read into it. But, and again, it was just the headline. I should have read more about it, but I didn't. Where some man, and I don't know where this happened. Maybe you do, and you can fill me in with more details later. But some man, I guess, he had like an apartment or his house or something. He had an American flag hanging. And he was told he had to take that American flag from off outside of his house because it would offend Muslims. Now, I don't know. I guess the way I look at it, get offended if you want. And I don't mean that to be rude or mouthy. I'm just, you know, bless God, I'm glad I live in this country. Now, if you don't like living here, don't tell me to take my flag down. You know, go back where you, to a country where you like the flag. And again, I'm not trying to be a rabble-rouser. What I'm doing is, it's like all these kind of things are warning signs. We've got another election coming up. What's going to happen? I don't know. I know that there are several people I would prefer to see in the White House. But unless the body of Christ rises up, man, who knows? We depend on each other. Well, you know, Jesus talked about that in John chapter 17, about, you know, Father, that they be one as you and I are one. I don't think we understand our oneness. I don't think we understand this connection that we have. You know, when families get together, I know there are dysfunctional families, okay? We're not talking about them. But I know when families get together, you know, if Uncle Fred can't be there, it's like, wow, why can't Uncle Fred be there? We miss Uncle Fred, Cousin Susie. I mean, we miss them because we're family and we want to get together and see our family. You know what? In this room tonight is a family bond that is stronger than anything that exists on earth. It's stronger than any earthly family bond. That's because when we were born again, God gave to us His life and nature. And we all have the same life and nature from God. He is our Father. He has birthed us into this life, this kingdom. And we are family. And we will be family forever. We don't understand the magnitude of that. In earthly families, there are always personality clashes. You know, in some families, brothers and sisters, man, they're just at each other, but they're still family. In the body of Christ, not all personalities fit like hand in glove. I understand that. But you know what? You have to get past that and realize I need you. I mean, I may not particularly like being elbow to elbow with you all the time, but I mean, I need you. And we need each other. God has a plan for us. And we're the only ones that can work it. How many excuses have we used to stay away from everything God has to offer? How many excuses have we used to just not be here when we get together? I think it would be so much easier if every time we came together in church, Jesus was literally, physically here. If we knew that He was, when we walked in, there He is. There Jesus. Jesus, hi. Good to see you today. And we knew He was going to be here physically. I'll bet a lot of people would be more faithful in their attendance. I've got news for you. He is. Jesus made the statement when He was talking to Thomas after His resurrection. He said, you know what, Thomas? It's great that you believe. But you know what? The people who believe without seeing, man, those folks are blessed. It's because it's faith. And you know, if you think of it like this, how many of you remember that old, it was like a horror movie, The Invisible Man? Remember that? And he used like bandages and then when he'd take the bandages off, you couldn't see him. Okay, you know, it's like Jesus is here, invisible, but He's here. How many of you bumped into Him when you were coming in tonight? See what I'm getting at? He's here. I mean, for all I know, He's standing right there looking at me right now. That's intimidating. He's here. He was peeking out the window when you were pulling into the parking lot. You know how you almost hit that car when you were parking? Yeah, he saw that. He's here. He's here. Sadly, I don't even capture that reality as much as I should. He's here. Sitting on the front row. Maybe the back row. I don't know. Every time I stand up and preach, there He is. He's here right now. Now, you guys are wondering, what am I going to say next? He's not. Because He already knows what I'm going to say. He's just waiting for me to say it. That'll keep you awake at night. When I look at you, I see value beyond behavior. And quite frankly, to be honest,
you mean everything's been a lie up to this point?
No. To be blunt. Honestly blunt. I think all of you here sell yourselves too short. You have expectations of me, and you should. You need to hold me accountable. But when I look at you, even though you may not be called to pastor, I don't see you as being any different than me. I know I have a different type of responsibility, and I know that I have a different level of responsibility because of the call of God on my life, but I don't see you any different. And that's why at times, figuratively speaking, I sit back and scratch my head wondering, why can't you see this about you? Why don't you understand this? But I understand why you don't, yet I still wonder why you don't. That doesn't make any sense. I understand where you're coming from because I've been there. I see in you a level of spirituality that I don't think you see in yourselves. And I don't think you give yourselves enough credit for where you are in the Lord. My gosh, there are those of you in here right now. You're not called to be a pastor. But you could go into a lot of churches and do a better job pastoring than the people there. Because of where you are in God. Because of what you know. You know more than what you think you know. You're able to do more than what you think you can. And it's all because of what your relationship with God. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not spending an hour a day praying in tongues. You know what? Whatever you've done over the last years, it's produced in you more than you've ever had in your life. And it's produced a spiritual level in you that most Christians don't have. You know, the whole concept of, what I'm sharing, I could send you over to any number of countries, and you could go in and teach three services a day, like I did when I was over in Kenya. You could go in and you could teach three services a day. I'm talking right now you could. I'm not talking 10 years from now. I'm talking you could get on a plane this Friday and go. Obviously, you'd be praying a lot between now and Friday. I know that. But you could. And you could teach three services a day for 6 days and speak more life into the lives of those Christians than what they've heard possibly their whole life. Not that they haven't heard good teaching, but you're at a place where you could do so much for them. And see, as I stand here, this is what I see in this room. I look beyond, like I said, I look beyond your behavior, whatever that would be. I see your potential. I see what you can do. And there are those of you that really, you are at a place now, right now, that I could ask you to stand behind this pulpit and minister, and you could do it. And you would do a good job. Not that you're called to a pulpit ministry, but you could stand and share from what God has deposited in your heart, and you would do a good job. And there'd be people who would be watching it on the internet, and they would hear what you're saying and what you're sharing out of that wellspring of your spirit. And they would respond, and they would be amazed at what they were hearing. That was incredible. That was amazing. You would be able to touch their lives so powerfully. And you know what they would see? They would see somebody who doesn't have a name tag that says pastor or apostle. No, they would just see somebody. A person who has at least a little bit, whatever a little bit means, done what has been taught, and now here they are ministering out of what has been sown into their lives. They're bringing forth this fruit. You guys are so gifted. There is so much in you. And you sell yourself short. I'm not saying you're being mean, you're criticizing yourselves, but you're selling yourself short in that you kind of don't think you can do what you can do, and you can do it. And I know you can. You think I'd be dumb enough to stand up here and say this if you couldn't? Listen, I don't... You've been around long enough, I don't give people false hope. I'll give you genuine hope. I'll speak truth. But I'm not going to say things just to make you feel good, just so you can feel good. I will tell you the things of God that will make you feel good if you'll receive it. That will minister joy to you. And every single one of you, there is so much that's in you right now What's it going to be like 6 months from now? How much more will be in there? A year from now, how much more is going to be in there? Well, you know what? If you hang around and you do what you can do as far as, you know, praying and the worship and all this, the Word, do what you can do. You know what? That treasure chest on the inside of you is just going to be fuller and fuller. Do you understand how hard it would be for someone to come here from another church and do anything? You know, Kathy has been our worship leader. Kathy's been our temporary worship leader for what, 12 years? 14 years? 14 years. We're still believing God for the worship leader. She's filling in. Personally, I think she does a great job. She does a whole lot better than a lot of people in a lot of churches. One thing's for sure, there's no performance here. That doesn't mean she ain't no good. What it means is, you know what I'm talking about. There's not show. Do you have any idea how difficult it would be for somebody to come in here and be the worship leader at this point? Do you have any idea? This person would have to have been somebody who's had a heart for God, has been pressing into God, wherever they are right now, to be able to come in here and lead worship at the place where we are. Because if they weren't at that place spiritually, every one of you would see right through them. I'm not saying they'd be in sin, but you would understand. How is that possible? Because where you are with God. You know how hard it would be to bring somebody in here, born again, filled the Holy Ghost for 30 years, but yet they've not been doing these things, you know, the prayer, the fasting, the worship, not the way we understand it and what Scripture is revealing. You know how hard it would be to bring somebody in like that? I don't mean bring them in, but like if they came here, they taught Sunday school for 30 years. We couldn't just put them in there in a Sunday school class. When people would walk in here, see, what's happened is we've grown over the years spiritually to the place to where it would be difficult for anybody else to come in and just get greatly involved. We would have to make allowances for some things, not compromise, allowances. And we would have to nourish and we would have to encourage. And you know who's going to have to help do that? Every one of you. They come to you with questions. When he was talking about, you know, all that stuff, I mean, what all was he talking about? And you know what? You'll be able to give answers. And when the conversation's over, you'll be like, wow, I didn't know I knew that. But it's in there. It is in there. Those of you watching, there are some of you been watching for a long time. You've been listening to these services, downloading them, listening. You've been doing these things, praying and so forth. This is for you too. Hey, there are a bunch of you out there watching. You're the kind of people who could come in here and get involved very quickly because you've been doing these things. You're a part of us. I don't know where you live, but you're a part of us. And see, you know it in your heart, in your spirit, you know that. And it's because the Holy Spirit has worked in a way that maybe we could call miraculous, but He has connected you with us. We're linked. We're linked. Well, we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of that family. But you are a part of this family. This fellowship. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised if there's some people out there, maybe you're watching live or maybe you're watching this after the fact, that maybe God's mentioned to you about moving here. Now, I'm not trying to manipulate and I'm not telling you, thus saith the Lord. But I do know that's possible. You know, as a pastor, I am so blessed to have you here. There are pastors out there who would love to have you guys. You guys, some of you could walk into churches and those pastors would be, when they find out where you're walking in God, man, they'd be flocking at your doorstep, begging you to get involved. Please teach the Sunday school. Please do this. Please do that. That's if they're sensitive in their spirit to the things of God. They'd be begging you. Because they would see something in you that they're not seeing in their own people. That doesn't mean they got lousy people. It just means they would see something in you. That's who you are, and that's where you are. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, you know, Timothy, for you and the people that you teach, here's the deal. You know, you study to show yourselves approved unto God. Well, you know what? Regardless of how much time you have or have not spent in the Word of God, every one of you in here have studied to show yourself approved unto God. And you have advanced spiritually. You have grown and matured spiritually more than what you know. Listen, I get emails from people and I'm thinking, boy, do you need to be here. Because there's only so much I can do long distance. There are pastors out there wish they had a church like this. They wish they had people like you. We're in a good place, guys. We collectively are in a good place. We've got more going for us than what we realize. We're further along in God than what we know. Oh yeah, there's a lot further to go. We know that. And God is, He admonishes us a lot about that. And He should. He's our Father. I want Him to admonish us. I want Him to correct. I want Him to guide. I want Him to direct. I want this. I want to be encouraged by Him. Even if it's conviction, I want it. Because I want to go further in Him. And the thing is, I know you do too. Now, let's be honest, every one of us, we could put forth more effort, but my goodness, whatever effort you've put forth to this point, look at where you are, how far along in God you are. You know, He smiles when He looks at you. Some of the other people around here may not, but God smiles when He looks at you. You're valuable to Him. And I praise God for what you have allowed Him to do in you. And I mean that the same thing for those of you that are watching, because there are some of you, you watch these services all the time, and there are some of you that I know that on the inside of you there's something there that, boy, man, I'd love to be there in Dayton. Boy, if I could live there in Dayton, it'd be great. I could go to that church. But God has you where He has you. You'd be foolish to move here unless God says move. But you know what? It's the same thing for you, because those emails that I get, I see where you're walking in God, even though we're not together. In the Spirit, I can see it. And you are right here with us. That means so much. There are people I know that don't attend here, but there are long-distance extended family. I could send them to those countries. I could arrange for them to go and teach. And they would do the same excellent job. I want you to be encouraged. You're farther along in God than what you think. Much farther. I want you to be encouraged. There's something great on the inside of you. And God wants to bring it forth in a way that we just don't understand. And I want you guys, all of you, those of you here, those of you long distance, our extended family, I want you to know something. You're not failing. You're not blowing it. Yeah, you made wrong choices along the way. Yes, you could be spending more time with God. Come on, we all know that. But you're not blowing it. And you are making progress in God. You're hearing the word. You're receiving the word. And you are bringing forth fruit. Maybe not as much as what you could, but you're bringing forth fruit. And more than that, you're honoring your Lord and Savior. We're making God proud, guys. And I do not take for granted, or do I take it lightly, your involvement here. It's very meaningful, not just for me and each of you, but for the kingdom. We're doing so much. So much. And I am excited about what the future holds because I know we're going to be able to do more. You know, the Lord has taken this... Well, this morning he did the same thing, took things a little bit differently than what I thought he was going to. And this message is not at all what I thought it was going to be tonight. But I guess he just wanted to pass along encouragement to you tonight to let you know that, yeah, you guys, you've made progress in Jesus. Every single one of you. No exceptions. All of you. And you are not the way you see yourself. God sees so much more in you. I see so much more in you. But He sees even more than that. Don't you let the devil slap you around and get you to thinking that well, you're just not. Because you are. You are. And if we keep pressing in this direction, guys, which I know we're going to, could we press faster? Sure we could. But we are making progress. And we're not going to belittle the progress that we have made. I know some of you've got situations in your home life, life in general that you don't like, things that aren't going well, whatever it would be. But you know what? You haven't quit. You haven't thrown in the towel. You've shed tears. You've gone through it. We'll just leave it with it. Some of you may be going through a pile of it right now. Did I just step in a... Okay. But you're not going to quit. I know you're not. You're not going to give up. You're not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to quit. You are going to press on. And in pressing on is the growth. Not the experience, but the pressing on. That is the growth. This is great. See, I would rather have a church this size with people like you than a church of 5,000 feel-gooders. I mean that. It's because right here tonight in this room is the ability. It's not just the potential, but the actual ability to do more than a room of 5,000 feel-gooders. You guys, man, you're doing good. Thank you. And your Father thanks you as well. Be encouraged, guys, to know it's worth it and it will continue to be worth it every single day.